I wonder how many of you know the story of Augustine, the great sinner who became a great saint. You should also know that his mother was Saint Monica, and he lived in the 4th century, and he told the story of his life in a book that has become a classic that he called his Confessions. Now the book is indeed a confession of sin, because Augustine does relate with candor and honesty his own personal depravity, but the book is also a confession of God's mercy. That is, the book is a proclamation of praise for that gift of grace that triumphed over this evil in his life. What is so fascinating is how Augustine remembered the very instant, the very moment of that triumph of grace in his life, when, as he wrote, his restless heart finally came to rest in the divine embrace. He writes that he was sitting there in the garden of his house in Milan, Italy, thoroughly dissatisfied with himself, frustrated with his life, and in despair over this emptiness in his heart. As I sat weeping bitterly, he writes, I heard from a neighboring house a childish voice chanting over and over, take and read, take and read. He says, I took this to be, as it were, a command from God, and I rose immediately to fetch the book of St. Paul's letters. I opened the book and read in silence the very first section on which my eyes fell. No carousing or drunkenness, no quarreling or jealousy, no, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there was no need for me to read any further. As soon as I had finished that sentence, an incredible serenity invaded my heart, and all the darkness of doubt vanished. Now that reaction of Augustine is exactly the one that is intended by St. Paul when he first wrote those lines and the preceding ones that we just heard in the second reading today for the first Sunday of Advent. Paul says, the time has come. And in Greek, he uses the word for time that is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, kairos, which means a critical point of time. Now that moment in the garden was for Augustine a kairos, a critical point of time, a critical moment, a critical instant in his life that changed everything from there on in. But above all, he finally tasted the serenity and the healing peace of God in his empty heart. Now, most often, people, including us, think of this mystery of time in terms of the way we mortal people experience time, as past and present and future. We people, being human, like the beginnings of things much better than the endings. An ending, we feel, closes off time. But a beginning opens up new experiences for us. A beginning is always filled with new promise. New choices are available. The passing of time, however, always reduces promises to the performance of what we have to do. And the passing of time will always continue, we feel, to narrow down the choices that we still have available to make in our life. And so, in today's culture particularly, people feel that time is constricting. And of course, it haunts people. It haunts us with the path never taken. We always wonder, as time passes, did we do the right thing at the right time? Now, by long church tradition, today, the first of Advent is a beginning. Advent means we look toward the coming of the Lord, although he comes every hour of the day. It is also, as it happens, the start of a new church year. Now, I know it seems like an arbitrary designation because there's no relation of the rhythm of the world in which we live around us to mark the beginning of anything. We mark a new year on January 1. And so if it's a beginning, we think it's a strange one. And even though he might, in this season, prepare for the coming of the Savior, which is a beginning, yet today in Scripture we heard really about the endings of time. And so obviously then, these categories of past, present, and future are not sufficient to explain what we're talking about in terms of the celebration of time in our life. We're talking about time now as a mystery and as a gift. A mystery because since we live in Jesus as members of his body, all of time that is given to us in which to live is a special time of which Paul is speaking and which Augustine experienced in that fascinating moment that changed his life forever. It was a conversion moment. Past, present, and future are merged. They become one in the kind of moment we're talking about. The instant is not just now. It is N-O-W, now spelled with capital letters. Every moment of our life is a now, a mystery that can never again be recaptured. It is the sacrament of the moment, the gift that comes only once. Now, the same Jesus who gathers us here in the mystery of the Eucharist is the Jesus born of the Virgin Mary, same one who suffered, died, was buried, rose from the dead, and is now with the Father. We today can begin a new year, a new time for us, because time is different for us people who have the gift of faith. We believe in Jesus, and because of faith, we know and believe that his presence is what is so special today that makes every moment of every day special. Time, as the mystery given to us, is redeemed by the Lord of history. Because of the coming of Jesus in time as part of us, it means that time will never disappear. Time continues to expand so that it takes in all of time and all of history, all of the time of the entire world, our time, your time, my time, so that even in death, time expands, our consciousness expands, and continues to expand in the mystery that we call everlasting life, because then we are no longer hampered by the limitations of our own human mortality. What is so unfortunate is that today, in modern times, so many people find time to be dreadful, because they always see time as coming to an end, and they're continually filled with regret that they experience the passing of time. They feel that it is something that can never be again. Today, unfortunately, so much of our modern culture is based on this dread of endings, this continual regret that all the things we look forward to are continually passing. Our modern culture says, if the present moment is all that you have, and if your stock, your inventory of present moments is so limited, then culture says, make the most of it. Or as a tagline of a recent commercial put it, you only go around once in life. Now, from that perspective, time becomes our enemy. Today's modern culture makes time our enemy. Our culture today says, the more time that you have lived through, the more poor you are. The culture in the world today says, to become older is not to get better. Time is running out. Instead of understanding that the best is yet to come, the last years for which the first were made. We people today necessarily feel that way because it rubs off on us in today's American culture. We are part of today's culture. And for that reason, we do not escape this unfortunate cultural drag. We Christian people also today, unfortunately, have become afraid of time and what it can do to us. The result is that today we people become engaged in nostalgia. We want to recapture the past as a way of preserving the past. The result is we ignore the elderly as a way of denying the future that awaits every one of us. We don't like old people. They remind us of what we are going to become. They don't understand the beauty of growing older. Today, people try to stay younger, and so they try to look younger and do everything possible. Time, as a mystery, is a gift, and yet we people today treat it like a ticking time bomb. Today's celebration of the beginning of Advent is an attempt to bring a correction to this narrow, narrow, myopic vision. Because we live in Jesus, time is creative and time is beautiful. It is the arena of a healing love in our life. In Jesus and with Him and through Him, this ongoing passage of time is able to make us richer. So the older we become, the deeper our life experience is. Richer, not poorer. Now, N-O-W, this now and every passing now is the beginning of continual personal fulfillment. Each moment of our life brings us more deeply into the mystery of God's healing love. Every instant contains all the promises He ever made to us. That is what Augustine discovered in that instant. That's why his life was never the same. 1600 years ago in that garden in northern Italy. Today, for us, gathered here in this worship assembly, time is now.